AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
The fastest goals, the experts' opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, and Gordon DL are here. We're getting the second halves underway across the country, across the Premiership in the 3 o'clock games. Some massive matches, most importantly, in terms of the tension and the drama. It's all about the teams trying to stay in the division. But there's a big game in the race for third as well, and it is going the way of Hibs. They're 2-0 up against Dundee United at the break. As you would expect, Dundee United have responded, or it looks like they will, with the change. Trapanovski was stripped and going through the warm-up. The teams are not out yet though, Fraser Wishart, are they?
No, they're not. The players are still going through the warm-up, but not many subs on the Dundee United side. There might even be another couple. Rudy Payton left the players at warming up to go up the tunnel as well, and I'm not surprised. I said that during the half-time report, that there might be a couple of changes because they need to win this game. You know, they need to get the 3 points, otherwise their chance of finishing third is pretty much gone. With only 3 games to go, they'd be 6 points behind, and they've been second best all over. They've actually had decent possession, but they've only had one shot on target, and it could have been worse. Jack Walton's made 3 or 4 really good saves, especially a double save from Kukarevic, and then up quickly to deny Hoylett. But Junior Hoylett's caused him all sorts of problems, starting in number 10 position, but on a kind of left hand side, and he's just drifting, getting on the ball, and he's the man that's creating everything for Hibs as well. So they could be further ahead, but as we always say, the third goal's vital. If the United get it, then all of a sudden the game just changes. But I have to say, Hibs have been very impressive. I don't see anything other than them going on to win the game, but have to take a big change in the match dynamics for United to get back into this one.
Good response though from Hibs, Fraser, if anyone was wondering if last weekend's defeat was going to be, you know, a bubble burster.
Yeah, they went at it straight from kickoff, Gordon. You know, I said before the game I thought they would get after Dundee United and impress them, and they did that, and that's been their success, playing with a 3-4-3. And when teams are trying to play out from the back and they're trying to be fancy, they keep the three players up and they don't let them out of the penalty box. And if they get out of the penalty box, the midfield players are up as well. And the number of times they've taken the ball off United inside their own half has really caused United so many problems. But I have to say, Glenn Middleton's actually going to come on as well. So a couple of positive changes, Trapanovski and Middleton are going to be the two changes. I'm just looking to see who's coming off here. It looks like it's going to be David Babunski. And waiting for the board to go up to tell us the second substitution, and it's going to be Jort van der Sande. No surprise, neither player really playing much part in the game, but the Hibs know they've been excellent. But as I said before, if United just somehow nick a goal, all of a sudden the whole dynamic of the game changes.
Thanks to Fraser, we'll keep an eye when that one gets back underway. Craig Gordon's made a really smart stop to keep out Ronan Hale's shot. Andy Halliday'd a header over there for Motherwell as they look to level, but it was from a difficult angle and never really looked like causing any problems. Johnny Katrumbis, a half-hearted penalty claim for Motherwell, didn't come to anything. Mikael Mandron's just gone into the book. He tried an overhead kick for St Mirren, ended up kicking Alfie Dorrington, and goes into the book there as well. Motherwell making a half-time change to Wanda Maswanisi, replacing Harry Payton. So it's all set up for a good second half. You?
I like Maswanisi. He's got terrific feet, knows his way to goal as well. Motherwell can't hang about, they're a goal down, they don't want to get any bother going into the final 3 games of the season. So for me, everything is in the balance with the exception of Hibs, Dundee United. I know that Jim Goodwin has made changes. The like of Glenn Middleton will be a good arrival for him. However, I think they're just too far gone now.
I sort of agree with Fraser. I think in games like this, and we've seen it before, the manager makes a few substitutions, he's looking for a response, and that's what Jim will be looking for with Dundee United. Next goal so important. Obviously, if Hibs get that, yes, you can say the game's well and truly gone. But if Dundee United could just snatch a goal, puts a little bit of pressure on them, gets them back into the game, you rarely find that two halves are the same. I know Hibs have dominated the first half, 2-0 up, really cruising. But goals can change games, and the next goal is so important. Easterwood,
yeah. Did Peterhead win the league?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they're 4-1 down to Clyde.
That's because it's been on the lash a week, probably.
Yeah, yeah. So it always happens.
I think Arbroath as well. Since Arbroath won the league, they've had a few dodgy results as well. So they've certainly enjoyed themselves. A long, hard season, Hugh, for these players. Once they get over the line, they're entitled to
Clyde haven't scored down. Clyde haven't scored 4 goals in one game since Craig Brown was a manager.
Rory McKenzie came on at half time in place of Bobby Wales for Kilmarnock. Rory McKenzie has since tumbled in the box. The referee is having a look, Ian Sneddon, because it went up the other end and then Uchik Piatsu had a header wide. Of course, waiting for the chance for VAR to take a look at it, and they are. So we'll see if Kilmarnock have a penalty and the chance to double their advantage. Let's do the teaser, Hugh, whilst we are waiting, because we want to give you as long as possible on this one.
The second half teaser with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
I have played with Aaron Ramsey, Saul Campbell, and Tam McManus. How did young Thomas get in there? I have played under two managers with the same surname. And I've played in Scotland, England, and two countries on the continent. Who am I? I played with Aaron Ramsey, Saul Campbell, and Tam McManus. I played under two managers with the same surname. And I've played in Scotland, England, and two countries on the continent. Who am I?
Good question. At Clyde SSB, throw some names in, see what sticks, and try ultimately to get it quicker than everyone else. Penalty, Kilmarnock. It was given. Ian Sneddon went and took a look, and it was given. Fraser Murray's doing the old protecting the penalty spot because everyone else is going to try and scuff it up.
Right.
Do that in your day. Is that like a modern phenomenon?
Just scuff up the penalty spot? I'm sure they would have, eh?
And maybe just more cameras these days. Danny Armstrong is going to be the man to take it to try and double the advantage and look to condemn St. Johnston.
Yep.
My ball, Armstrong.
Your ball. You like that one about him? Good player.
Yeah.
With M&D Green Pharmacy.
And score he does. St. Johnston 0, Kilmarnock 2.
Well, Derek McInnes can, you know, relax now. They will be safe. 3 points in the bag, and it's been a poor season for Kilmarnock, but I always thought with Derek McInnes at the helm and the quality of players that they've got, I thought they were always going to be okay. And for St. Johnston, that certainly is curtains for them.
Do you think that if Ross County had to beat Hearts, is Kilmarnock not still in that?
Nah, they'll be fine. You've got to think as well what an away win does for the confidence as well at this stage. You know, when you're going into your remaining games, is that feel-good factor about the place? So I think they'll be okay. And I'm not just sure Ross County will get the job done against Hearts now at Dingwall.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Game on at Easter Road because Trapanowski's pulled one back for Dundee United. It was all about the fast start Hibs made to the first half. Well, Dundee United have made a quick start to the second. Trapanowski's got his goal and it's Hibs 2, Dundee United 1.
I told you the manager makes a substitution, changes one or two things tactically. He's looking for a response. The two halves, always there's a little change in the, you know, the domination of the game. Dundee United's come out the traps, and Fraser was right. He says goals change games. Dundee United right back in this one.
Looks good, different now, Hugh.
Yeah, good in-game management from Jim Goodwin, a test of David Gray, who, remember, this is his first season as a manager. Jim Goodwin's been round the block several times, and his experience has told in United's favour just now. 2-1, game on.
Always good when you make a change like that and it pays off instantly. So yeah, every chance of getting back in that. And you know, Jim's installed a great fighting spirit in that United team. I think the stat popped up last week, goals scored at the end of games, and Celtic were the leaders, United right behind them. So not done and dusted by a long shot, that one.
Yeah, he fired in a loose ball from Will Ferry's long throw, just as Portales did earlier for Dundee, with one disallowed as well. Here's the stat I need. Is this the longest total distance that players have thrown the ball this season?
Cool.
Because genuinely it feels like every team
has got a long throw,
a long throw.
And I think it's been, it just feels like more than usual. You mentioned Will Ferry, Astley's doing it at Dundee. It feels like there are quite a lot of clubs in there. Kofi Balmer, when he plays at Motherwell, can launch it about the length of three football pitches.
Tell you what, the Championship have got a couple of chuckers in there. Every game it seems a team's got a long throw.
There's a guy in our show made a career out of a long throw. Right. Oh. And he's well known at Fir Park for it. He was brilliant, this boy. Honestly, yeah. Let it go for a shy, Fraser. Don't control it. I think we'll have a better chance of quality.
Did he really have a long throw, Fraser?
Yeah, he did.
I can remember him playing, but I can never remember the throw-in.
A willing runner with no ability, he was called at Fir Park. But he had a fantastic long throw.
I can see you getting no starter or pudding tomorrow night.
I don't know.
I don't know how we even get an invite. Never mind a starter.
He did have a long throw, he's confirmed.
Honestly, God, he was famous for it at Fir Park.
Clarkson and Ockles off, Pulvara and McGrath on, as Aberdeen mix things up, try and go for the win.
Jimmy Tilleen got cup final in the week in which Aberdeen got 20,000 tickets for the Scottish Cup final. They've got Celtic at Pittodrie on the 14th in the league, and then 10 days later it's the Scottish Cup final. They want to maintain momentum. They beat Hibs last week. They want to maintain momentum, but St Mirren aren't there just to make up the numbers.
What would you do in that situation? You know, you've got Celtic coming to Pittodrie. You played them in a couple of weeks in the cup final. So mix up your team, or would you use it as a dry run?
I would mix up my team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play the kids, play the guys that have many minutes.
I would play a mixture. Yeah.
Is this Aberdeen?
Yeah.
But they've got things to play for just now, though.
Nah, if they don't win today and Hibs win,
they won't finish as high as they can, though.
Yeah, they'll finish fourth, won't they?
Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Ross County 1 Hearts 2, and it's Lawrence Shankland again. A good time to find his shooting boots. Forrester's driven cross there with Shankland with the finish, and after falling behind early on in this one, Hearts lead.
And on all known form, Ross County won't come back. So as I said, of all the players in all the teams, this is like Humphrey Bogart in Casablanca.
Yeah, I was thinking that, Hugh, for the
he had to get
generation.
A goal, and now he's got two, and he will be the saviour.
It's what big players do, you know, at big clubs. They turn up when needed most, more often than not. And Shankland, he's had a tough season, but when his club needed him just now and today, going a goal behind, big pressure game, and you're right, the week that they've had, he's stood up, got the two, and I don't think Ross Kenny will come back from that either.
In the words of Anne Budge, the smirk was yesterday's news.
And he's on a hat-trick now, Lawrence Shankland. He's got his double, still over half an hour to go. You wouldn't bet against him, would you?
Well, the one thing, he won't be substituted. That's what normally happens to strikers on two goals. Usually see a substitution coming on. He'll certainly be kept on the pitch. Look, he's a number nine. I keep going back to it. I don't know why anybody took him out of the position and played him as a 10. He can play there, but his threat is in that penalty box. He's a goal scorer. They put him in the number 9 position today. What happens? He scored two goals. It's not rocket science.
Well, in that case, does that not tell you why Neil Critchley got the bag? Because he thought it was rocket science, and he put him Shankland somewhere else.
Lawrence Shankland's missed chances this season as well. It's not like all of a sudden.
No, but I think he's a better threat as a number 9 than as a 10. Yes, he'll probably have missed a few chances, but I'll tell you what, if you'd have started him every week as a number 9, he'd had more goals than what he's sitting on just now.
So credit to Liam Fox for putting him back in that role today.
Yeah,
identifying
it's the first thing I would have did is if I walked in as a manager, he'd be my number 9. Simple and straightforward as that. He's a goal scorer. Why would you put your goal scorer in deeper to link up the play? It's ridiculous. People have to wake up to this game.
You're talking to the Maryhill Mourinho here. Oh,
I take in every bit of advice this guy gives me, even when we're chatting about stuff during the break.
Yeah.
Take everything on board.
You've got to have a good night.
They nearly scored again. Alan Forrest was through, but the effort was eventually cleared off the line. I'm not saying Motherwell are struggling to create anything, but Dan Casey just drove forward from defence and hit one from about 48 yards, which flew over the bar.
Are you suggesting that Motherwell have run out of ideas?
Yeah, I don't think it's been a particularly...
Is there still in the game? 1-0, Hugh. I think they've got a little bit of a...
Goal flashes.
Maybe they're not in the game anymore.
With M&D Green Pharmacy.
Oh, they are, because Motherwell have equalised. And it's Tom Sparrow. He's been a really good signing for Motherwell this season. Scored last week as well. Came up from Stoke. Started in midfield. Played right back. And the ball, Lennon Miller kind of bundled his way forward and then deflected into the path of Sparrow, and he fired high from close range.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Goal St Mirren. That could be a big one in the race for third. They've taken the lead over Aberdeen, and it is Mikel McMandron, Scotland's next striker perhaps. It's a free kick in from O'Hara. Chests it in the box, finishes it as it drops. That's a good goal, that, from Mikel Mandron, and it's St Mirren 1 Aberdeen 0.
Sparrow swoops and Mandron makes the running for St Mirren. You know, if Stevie Clark should ever see Mandron's miss against Rangers last weekend, he'll never stop laughing. But Mandron has picked himself up and come good again this weekend.
It's always going to be a difficult one for Aberdeen. You know, I don't think they particularly like going there. And obviously St Mirren, no pressure on them. Great season. They go out there, they make it very difficult. I think Gabs is right. They do play to a certain system. They get it forward quickly. They like to use the centre forwards. They bounce off second balls, and they're a real threat. And
they're having a look at the St Mirren goal for an offside check. Got a lengthy gap. That Spittle has hit the bar for Hearts. They're already 2-1 up, but they could have put the game to bed. Motherwell let one fly from distance as well. They're looking confident after that Tom Sparrow goal. So it's all heating up, but nicely the St Mirren goal stands. So as you were.
Well, you know, it's a blow for Jimmy Tilleen. As I said, he wants to maintain momentum. Everything is about the cup final. I mean, if you're going to finish third or fourth, but could win the Scottish Cup final, Scottish Cup final is far more important. So he wants to maintain momentum, but at the moment he's hit that proverbial bump in the road.
Remind us of your teaser, please, Hugh.
I have played with Aaron Ramsey, Saul Campbell and Tam McManus. I have played under two managers with the same surname. And I've played in Scotland, England and two countries on the continent. Who am I?
Quinn thinks it's Andy Halliday.
Oh, no.
Greg's Gardens thinks it's Matt Ritchie.
No, it's not.
Ryan O'Neill thinks Anthony Stokes.
Nah.
Okay, keep the guesses coming in, please, at Clyde SSB, incidentally. Mr. Who Am I, have you made any headway with this?
I think that it's one of my favourite sayings, is it?
Yes.
Is it? Yeah, I've got it.
Elaborate, please.
Yes, I've got it.
Blair Alston's put Stenhouse Muir 2-1 up against Dumbarton on the 60-minute mark there. It's all happening.
Yeah, it is indeed. The Dazzler has it.
Very good. Very impressive.
Now all you need is two goals for Ross County and you are the tipster of the year.
I'm loving the tension in the playoff to try and get into the SPFL. Remember, East Kilbride went up to Brora today 4-1 up.
What's your score?
3-1 down.
Oh,
5-4.
And now East Kilbride have scored again.
3-4.
3-2 on the day. 6-4.
What a game. What a game.
João Baldi has got one. And with an hour gone, 6-4 on aggregate. According to Hugh, I'm just trusting him. I can't count. So.
Ten stuff. I take it Brora as a grass pitch. It will be.
I think so. Yeah.
Never played up there, Matt?
Yes, I did. Brora, I said, remember I told you last week, played for Scotland up there.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Was it Elgin you get sacked?
Ah, I did. I get sacked at Elgin. I never forget that.
It was one of those Highland clubs I've supported.
Yeah. No, what they did was they left me over the weekend and then left me to take training on the Monday and sacked me right after training.
Exactly. Look at them now. Good.
Look at, yeah. Do you know something? That's what they say. All good coach stroke managers learn from their sackings, and this man has certainly picked up that up.
It's a really catchy saying that.
I've never heard that saying.
Yeah.
I like the stroke in the middle of it as well, in particular.
Well, we don't know what he is. Are you a head coach? Are you assistant? Are you a manager? What are you?
Co-manager.
Just a coach.
I know outside the studio.
Like, remember all those kids.
I know outside,
coach.
Outside the studio what you are, but I'm looking at the football sense here.
Coach, that's it.
You coach?
Co-manager.
Advice giver.
Do you?
So I could give you advice about your lifestyle.
Do you?
Out of this studio.
I don't think there's anybody could give me advice about my lifestyle.
People have gone through degrees for tens of years that couldn't give you advice about your lifestyle.
Keep your guesses coming then at Clyde SSB on the teaser. If the start to these second halves are anything to go by, we're in for a feast of goals throughout this second half. Remember, Tom Sparrow equalised for Motherwell.
When Portales' second goal for Dundee was ruled not a goal by VAR, I said to the guys, lifeline, that's a lifeline. And to be fair to Motherwell, they've grabbed the lifeline.
Interesting to hear if Tony Docherty's particularly annoyed, because it's not that clear as to why that goal was ruled out, that second one. But I suppose that's VAR for you. It's hard to get the exact information. Teams are getting to the hour mark and beyond, so they're making those substitutions. There are a few. Dabag on for Keskinen for Aberdeen. They need something. They trail St Mirren by a goal to nil. Josh Campbell on for Hoylett. Hibs lead Dundee United 2-1. And Kilmarnock leading 2-0 against St Johnston, who've swapped a couple. Sidibe and Clark on for Griffith and Kirk.
But that's the one that's done and dusted. But I wonder if there's a goal somewhere along the line at Easter Road, whether that be an equaliser, Hibs just stretching their legs, if Dundee United are really going for it. And up in Dingwall, you'd fancy Hearts to hold on.
Oh yeah.
But you just never know. Once it gets past that hour mark, you start looking at the watch, the old stopwatch in the pocket, Hugh. Then
yeah.
Did you keep looking at last night?
I thought it stopped. How long it was taking. I had a wee glance.
Somebody sent me a message, forgive me, I can't remember who it was, saying that he was up the dark arts. Said it was a great time wasting from Thistle and game management.
That's nothing to do with me. I kind of control what the players do.
Said the stopwatch was getting a few outings.
Were you pointing to the stopwatch to the ref? Ref! Come on, Sardi!
I would have been him.
Sardi morning! Come on.
Oh, no, I keep myself to myself in the touchline.
Caelan Boyd-Munce has been one of the top performers for St Mirren in recent times. He's come on for Ocean Smith.
Leaving at the end of the season, Boyd-Munce. Good player for them.
Definitely.
Yeah, going.
Where's he going then?
That's not been confirmed, but he is going.
We'll have offers, I'm sure.
Well, it is an interesting time of the season, because all those players that have got, you know, 1 year contracts and they're expiring pretty soon. Some wouldn't have been told, some would have been told in advance, and it's interesting to see how the remaining few weeks of the season pans out for those. Some of them just performance levels go through the roof because they are looking for a new club.
When your new contract was coming up, you hit top form, didn't you? I used to look about March and think, right, time to get the boots back on.
Time to start running a bit.
Get the mileage in. The new contract is ready.
Well, the number one contract story of the season is going to be Greg Taylor's, isn't it? And it's still not.
It's still not solved yet.
I thought it was close as well.
Well, by all accounts, you know, you're hearing reports that it was getting closer or was heading in a more positive direction, but no, it hasn't been.
I think, you know, because the weeks are now long for Celtic in terms of there's no midweek distraction, you think that would have been very close, if not tied up by now.
Well, the Jota injury has brought the Celtic squad into sharp focus, I think, because the Jota will be out for the best part of a year, let's be honest. Greg Taylor's future uncertain. Tomorrow, Celtic will play without their number one goalkeeper. They'll start without their number one right back, Alistair Johnson out.
What's up with Alistair Johnson, anyway?
He's got an issue, but he's been managed, I think, for the cup final.
Oh, is he? Right, okay.
So I think if the cup final was tomorrow, he would play in it. But he's definitely going to miss this one. I think an injection or something.
I think Brendan Rodgers' close season will be as interesting as whoever is Rangers manager. I think there's a lot to be done at, well, there's certainly an awful lot to be done at Rangers, but there's a bit to be done at Celtic as well.
St Mirren goalkeeper making a decent save there as Aberdeen looked for that equaliser. Hearts are making changes, but they're 2-1 up now, so it's going to be a tense end to the game. I'll remind you of the way the table looks at the moment as things stand. So St Johnstone, I think everyone's got them gone anyway. As it sits though, 6 points behind Ross County, so technically there is a way back there, even if people do see it as being far away. And I don't think anyone would really breathe easy if it was to finish the way it is at the moment. Dundee would still only be 3 points above the playoff spot. Kilmarnock would be 6 points above the playoff spot. So still lots to happen, lots to get through.
St Johnstone would need to go to a medium to find a way back.
Who do they play next week? Do we know?
Who?
St Johnstone.
I think it's
too far down the line. And
next week? No, well, hold on a second, right? They play Ross County next week. There's 6 points between them right now.
And
I'm not saying they're going to stay up, but you win that game, it goes to 3 points with two to play. You'd have to say there's a chance.
Goal difference is tight as well.
Where is that game? Perth or Dingwall?
Perth.
Then Ross County go to the Tynecastle. No, they can't. They're playing.
But next week in the bottom six is St Johnstone. Oh, you're talking about after that. Sorry, who do you want to know?
Ross County.
After they play St Johnstone.
Yeah.
They go to, if you bear with me, so Hearts at home. Oh, is that in between? No, sorry. Dundee away after that. Yeah.
Oh. All of a sudden.
Actually, maybe life for Simo.
Yeah.
But then, of course,
they need to win.
Ross County could get an equaliser here. Dundee could get a winner against Motherwell. So there's still a lot to happen.
I'd bet on a Shankland hat trick before a Ross County equaliser.
Would you?
Yeah.
You know what that means, don't you?
Yeah.
Here it
Shankland
comes.
Will be all in subbed. No, he'll be subbed in 2 minutes.
And Hale will score the equaliser and get a brace.
This is what makes a career.
Correct you. Absolute correct.
And Motherwell probing there, trying to find the leading goal in that one, but it stays Dundee 1, Motherwell 1. Reminder of your teaser again, Hugh, if you can.
I have played with Aaron Ramsey, Saul Campbell and Pam McManus. I have played under two managers with the same surname, and I played in Scotland, England and two countries on the continent. Who am I?
Good question. Really, really good question that. Gordon Deal's got it. He's usually quite good at these. And the old who am I in the second half. It took him a while though. He wasn't as quick as some of you.
Has a lot of people got that?
Yeah, I'd say there's quite a few getting it now. I think most of them have got the bit between their teeth. Chris thinks it could be Ashley Cole.
And then again.
No. So there we go. What was it? I'm trying to figure out who these people think the managers are.
Yeah.
That have been the two managers with the same surname.
I'm still trying to figure that out, and I know the answer.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one up here. You can put that one together, can't you?
Ah, okay.
His first club up here. The one he came to alone.
Oh, right, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the manager then at that time, though? Right, okay. I've got it now.
It's very hard to have secrets
good.
Live on radio,
that's
isn't
good.
It? When we're not giving away the answer to the teaser.
You got it?
Yep.
Quite tricky, that. Kieran Bowie on for Kukurevic. I'm fascinated by Kieran Bowie's season because I feel like he's having a really good season, Kieran Bowie, and yet he hasn't really started many games
at all.
Do you know what I mean? He did start against Aberdeen last week. I think he's got 4 league starts. 4. I feel like he's had a good season. Does that make any sense?
When did he have the injury?
Yeah, he had the injury, but it's even at that, most of the good appearances seem to have been off the bench.
And you know what? Probably coincides with that great run that Hibs have been on, and David Gray thinking, well, not really going to change what I've got here, but a promising young player. And Hibs are pretty strong in that area at the minute. Wonder what the transfer window will look like, the summer will look like for David Gray as well. You know, big club, if he makes third, you know, what are their ambitions, European football? Can they strengthen that backline? I know that backline's looked good for now, but certainly always needs work.
Well, I think the January window was quite telling, though, wasn't it? They couldn't really do much, Hibs. I don't think they were able to. And
they had loads of players just on long-term contracts from previous managers.
If you finish third in the European football and all that sort of stuff, then
right. the first name associated with Hibs, I always get it wrong. Is it Regan Charles Cook? Charles Regan Cook?
Oh, Regan Charles Cook, yeah. You're right, he was linked. I saw
he's,
that.
He's the first one.
Where is he now? Down south?
Went to Belgium, I think it was.
Oh, well, yeah, but he's out of contract. And when he
had a great season at Ross County.
At Ross County, yeah. I always thought he looked a good player.
Was he nominated for player of the year?
He was nominated, yeah. Yes.
He's a Malky Mackay boy.
I mean, yeah.
Malky had him Dingwall, and now something's happened. No. Hmm. It was an exasperated look there.
Oh no, Motherwell coming very close at the back
often,
post.
Often forget about Malky Mackay because the focus is purely on David Gray. But Malky's had to sit there and be patient and should take credit for keeping David Gray in the job.
He also makes the occasional appearance, as they say in today's world, on the grass.
Does he really?
Yeah. Training.
So I'm told.
Does he?
What do you think about that?
Well, I used to go and take your sessions for it.
You used to say, what's going on here while you were sitting with a cup of coffee? If you were even there.
You've seen me.
You were negotiating suit prices up in the cafe doing the session.
My lunch.
Remember the soup we used to get every day?
Yeah. Looked after you, boy.
The game's been good to you.
Game's been great to me. I love the game. The game's been great to me.
Do you think he'll remember you if he can...
No.
Pull it off. If they can get Thistle to the top flight, do you think you'll get some sort of role within the operation?
Absolutely no chance. No.
He had his chance to make up to the Thistle fans and come along when I joined under 18 coach and invited him along to make peace, and he rejected them. So
I didn't reject anybody. Love the Jags. I've got a soft spot.
I still can't believe you played for them. I need to get some sort of footage. Is there any footage of him donning the Partick Thistle colours?
To be fair,
I don't think there's much, no.
I think playing for them is a sort of a...
A loose term?
Yeah. I was contracted. That's all we'll say.
So remind us, Mark, what's your playoff schedule looking like now?
We have Ayr United home on Tuesday and then away on Friday. So a pretty tight turnaround, the playoff schedule.
I think I get a good reception coming to that game. From
who?
United and Partick.
You're working on Tuesday. Just come along.
No, Friday.
Friday. It's a Somerset.
Yeah, because I've never been back since the day I left during the game.
That'd be good. Come down.
I'd like to. Will you get me a ticket?
Surely, here. We'll give you a ticket in hospitality.
Don't you
get
me
the stuff you did for the year. You're always going on about the semi-finals and
finals, league title,
and they won't even give you any hospitality.
Finished second in the championship when we couldn't go up because of the stadium criteria. I'm not a bitter man.
What other achievements you got? Did you beat Kilmarnock?
I never lost a goal. Kilmarnock, 3 games in the cup. Never lost a goal. Beat them 3 times.
The next question is, what did you do that was so bad?
You left under a cloud, is this?
No, I left when it was 0-0 with 20 minutes gone. And
start the engine.
I'll never forget the security guy at the door's face when I walked by him and jumped in my luxury car, and away I went, peeping the horn.
On the subject of the championship, why don't we hear from John McGlynn after last night's success?
Yeah, to go back to back, you know, championship winning, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Yeah, it has to be the best. You know, to go invincible last year, to step up to a better level, a much better level, and win it. Yeah, we had a little bit of wobble, but we came out on top. The players showed great character. We played our football tonight, and we won convincingly, even though we had a... Hamilton went ahead and we had to bounce back, and we did. And we played some great stuff. We deserve winners of the league. So it's right up there, it's the top, yeah.
I love the story, Mark. You look at the squad, and at the start, lots of it was the same players. You know, Brad Spencer and Calvin Miller, they were shortlisted for Player of the Year in League One. They're now shortlisted in the Championship. Yeah. They've been real mainstays, cornerstones of the team. Adds a bit of stardust with Scott Arfield on the pitch. That brings all the storylines off it as well. And then some of the other recruitment, we speak about Caelan Adams from Colts in the Lowland League,
Barney Stewart from
University Football. It's just an incredible incredible story all round.
Well, just an outstanding coach. I think he's right. I mean, how can you better that? Back to back Invincibles last season, but to come up against some of the teams in the league, obviously Livingston coming down, but Ayr United with Scott Brown and the optimism that was surrounding that club. You know, you've got Dunfermline and Morton in there, seasoned campaigners. Thistle, of course, were one of the favourites, but just kind of blow everybody away. And he's right, they did take a wee wobble, but they were consistent with their approach. They didn't change much in terms of style, or they just got better from what they were at League One, and that confidence breathed right through the club. So definitely well deserved. Recruitment was key with John McGlynn. You're right in highlighting Arfield, that came in at a crucial time of the season, and it was every one of their, no, 10 of their players were in Team of the Year last year. And they just one missed out, which was a bit harsh.
Yeah,
the one
yeah.
Missed
I think, listen, I think that everyone in football wouldn't begrudge John McGlynn this championship. He's been brilliant. He's a real football man. And also, you've got to give Paul Smith, his assistant manager, and his coaching staff all the credit as well. They work very hard.
He suffered an illness as well.
Yeah,
Paul had a heart attack through the season.
I signed Paul when I was at Ayr. He was a brilliant player for me. Great professional. And he's went on to obviously be John's sidekick, and they work very well together. It's a great achievement for him.
At Motherwell, I'm down to 10 men. Johnny Katrumbis has been sent off. It was the initial challenge on Larkesh was a yellow. Kevin Clancy then called to the monitor, goes and agrees with the notion that he might have made a clear or obvious error, and the red card comes out. So Johnny Katrumbis off, Motherwell down to 10.
Question is, has Kevin made a clear and obvious error by disallowing Dundee's would be second goal?
We don't know exactly what the story was on that, but Motherwell down to 10, and could be an interesting end to this one, because still plenty of time for Dundee to go and get that winner.
Certainly is. And I wonder, Tony Dock's just fully focused on what's going on in the pitch in front of him, or if he's worried about elsewhere, does that affect his tactics going into this last
goal? Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
It's a third goal for Hearts. Lawrence Shankland with the pass to Alan Forrest, who provides the finish.
He went too early there, Hugh.
Come on. He went too early. He never got the hat trick. Never got the hat trick. He passed it.
Passed still not quite. A real genius.
He set you right up there.
You said it's Lawrence Shankland with the pass and Alan Forrest with the finish. Come on. Anyway,
so
it doesn't matter. He does well down the left.
Lauren
Shankland squares it across. Alan Forrest collects before prodding it into the corner, and it's Ross County 1 Hearts 3. That will be that.
Oh, for sure. And the Hearts fans, although many did not bother making the long journey, those who have taken the trouble, absolutely delighted now. And Anne Budge can relax, Andrew McKinley can relax, because for today at least they're off the hook.
Yeah, it looks like the right decision today for them, when you remove the manager and you get a positive result in such a crucial game. But well done, Liam Fox. He has to pick up the pieces and organise a team and make decisions, like putting Shankland straight through the middle instead of a 10, and he's got his rewards.
3-3 in that East Kilbride game now, so chances are they are through to take on either Bonnie Rigg Rose or Forfar for a
when
place.
When is that decided, Gordon? Today?
Today, yeah.
Right, and who's winning with that?
7-4 on aggregate now.
No, Bonnie Rigg Rose and Forfar.
As things stand, it's Bonnie Rigg.
Is it?
But because they're winning and Forfar are drawing, so they're level in points. Oh. Bonnie Rigg would go down.
Goal difference.
On goal difference.
That's harsh. That's a hard one to take.
Finishing the season quite strongly as well, with a couple of wins, but yeah, it's going to be a tense end there as well. A couple of changes for Aberdeen. Have they got anything in them towards the end of this game?
Well, they better have. You know, they've got to pull out all the stops. Keep going on about momentum. You know, you don't want to go down to Glasgow in the week that you've asked for and received 20,000 tickets for the cup final and then not really do the work.
I take on board what you're saying here, but I don't think the... I think cup final's different. One off, going down there. I don't really think it'll make much difference, momentum going into it. I think Celtic are going firm favourites. They know they're Hamden inside out. That's where they come alive at times. But I think on a one-off cup final, yeah, you would like to get them a few wins under your belt. I'm taking that on board. But A one-off cup final against Celtic, I don't think will make much difference.
Now we're in the closing stages everywhere, really, so most of the goals that go in will be crucial. In fact, I think pretty much every goal, too far back for Ross County and possibly too far back for St Johnson. But if they could get one at this stage.
What a party Peterhead must have had. Clyde now 5-1 up. And I'm telling you, the last time Clyde scored five goals, Craig Brown must have been the manager.
At Shawfield as well. Yeah. Remember Shawfield?
Oh, hated Shawfield.
Oh, it was the only place you could play and still got a bet in the dogs at the same time.
You still have got a dogs here.
Oh, brilliant.
When I was a wee boy.
Did you ever play in that pitch?
No, never. I didn't even know it was a football pitch.
Yeah, that's where Clyde used to play.
And then the dogs would come on after.
Dogs would go on during it.
After the mitres.
Yeah.
Oh, great chance, Dundee United. Savelge, free header, 8 yards out, but he just doesn't get the contact. The ball goes wide. And that would have been the equaliser for Dundee United, but not to be.
Well, still time.
I'll tell you what, let's leave some space for late drama, Hugh, and do this.
Okay.
The second half teaser.
With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
I have played with Aaron Ramsey, Saul Campbell and Tam McManus. I have played under two managers with the same surname and I have played in Scotland, England and two countries on the continent. Who am I? I am Casper Schmeichel.
Casper Schmeichel, John Hughes and Mark Hughes, in case you were wondering. Lots of you got that right. And very quickly as well, Bazinga Bear in third place. Well done. Mikey Burns second. And Alonso 55 was the winner of that second half teaser. Gordon Dale, well done for getting a bit slow by your standards today.
Well, I thought that they're getting harder every week, Gordon. And I've got to take my time, piece it together. Was Tam McManus at Falkirk? Yes.
Tam McManus at Falkirk. Yeah. Saul Campbell at Notts County. Aaron Ramsey at Nice. Played for Falkirk and Celtic in Scotland, various clubs in the English leagues, as well as stints at Nice and Anderlecht in Belgium.
10-man Motherwell coming very close to taking the lead there. There was a turning shot trying to squeeze in at the near post from Ewan Wilson, but I think it was Trevor Carson getting down low to make the save.
Anyway, it's done and dusted with regard to the Hearts in Dingwall. Not done and dusted at Dundee, 1-1. Not done and dusted in Paisley, St Mirren 1-up.
Hibs and Dundee United still
not,
in the balance.
Not done and dusted, no.
Yeah, I'm still in the balance.
Not heard much for Aberdeen, though, have we? In terms of attacking sense, no. Any chances or anything like that. It sounds like a quiet afternoon. I think you're right. I don't. That, you said earlier on that not a good hunting ground for Aberdeen, is
no,
it?
No.
Always find it difficult there, as do most teams, you've got to say.
Yeah, I mean, Rangers lost there. Celtic had a very good win there, but St Mirren really tested them.
Motherwell hit the bar as well. Corner comes in. Tony Watt had a go. Dan Casey had a go. I think it was Casey's in the end that comes back off the crossbar. Tony Watt firing over on the rebound.
You seem to be doing well with 10 men, Motherwell. Maybe that's a plan going forward.
Just play with 10.
Start with 10.
Yeah, I'm looking at the late drama potentials. I suppose Dens would be one of them. If either side could go and get all 3 points instead of one, it would put a completely different complexion on their fight to avoid the playoff spot. I don't think there's any way back for Ross County or Kilmarnock at this stage. So really, is there a Dundee United equaliser out there? Is there an Aberdeen equaliser? Well, that would be the two big questions.
Yeah, and you can answer both in the same way. There is a possibility. It's not out of the question. There is a possibility.
A United equaliser, I think, is the most likely.
Do you think so?
Well, just going with the stats through the season, how often they turn up.
I think Dundee will score a winner.
Against 10 men?
10 men, yeah.
Well, you got Ross County wrong.
Are you okay, Hugh? One swallow doesn't make a summer.
Correct. How many do?
Two or three.
Yeah.
Andy Haldy's doing some good defending to to try and prevent your prediction.
We'll be tired on Monday.
Do you know what I was looking out for? Because I was having a look to see if there was the ultimate consistency of availability stat that I could bestow on them. I don't think there'll be many players in the league that have played in every league game. And I was having a look through them all.
Are there any?
The only other one I could see initially was Blair Spittle has. But
he's
really
played in with Hearts every league game.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that either.
Yeah. No, that's with Hearts. Tall, surely, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, never have got that.
I was going to say it's been a quieter season, certainly in terms of goals and assists for
Spurs. Yeah, yeah.
But I just thought that might have coincided with him not playing as much.
I think what it clearly would mean is a lot. I think there will be a lot less starts in there. I don't think he'll have started as many games.
By the way, going back to the start of the season, certainly I thought Hearts would have been a force to be reckoned with creatively, because you've got Spittle and Danda, I remember.
Danda's not really,
not really worked out, has it at all?
No, it's not worked out for him. I think Hearts has been too big a club. I think he's got a good ability, but it's not worked out for him.
He was your man as well, Mark Wilson.
He was. Yeah, I really like him. I wonder where he will land, because
he
any
came
new
on
manager.
Today, I'm sure.
Yeah. Just talking to missing men. Where's Roger Hannah today? Is he washing his hair or something?
I've absolutely no idea. On holiday, I think, perhaps.
No.
Will he be in attendance at the PFA?
You're asking questions to which I have no answer.
I think he is.
Maybe he's shining his head for tomorrow night.
Come on. Better than that.
Oh, you a few glasses of champagne tomorrow with Fraser and Roger there is a recipe for disaster.
Oh, Fraser's the only guy who'll get booed with his speech.
Oh, we've got a big goal at Easter Road. Which way is it gone? Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. It's been scored by Hibs and it's Dwight Gayle. They've wrapped it up. That could be a massive goal. That will be the goal that seals the victory today over Dundee United and really strengthens that grip on third place for David Gray's side.
Yeah, so as things stand, Hibs on 56 points, Aberdeen on 53 points, along with Dundee United. No, Dundee United have lost, so they're on 50. So very good day for Sir David Gray.
Yes, a great day for Hibs. They're not going to chuck it from there. Dwight Gayle, I think it's still,
it's been a good signing.
Unconfirmed, isn't it, as to whether he's,
did I say he was
going to retire at the end of the season? I think he probably will, but I don't think it's been absolutely nailed on. We've got a goal at Dens Park.
Oh. Goal flashes
with M&D Green Pharmacy. And it's the 10 men of Motherwell. Tawanda Maswanisi is leaping highest in the box. It's a bullet header. I don't think it's quite what people associate with Tawanda Maswanisi, more of a tricky winger, but it's a brilliant header into the back of the net. And Motherwell, with the 10 men, take the lead. He's got the shirt off. He'll get booked for that. It'll be awkward if the VAR cameras pick something up.
What a time to score. What a time to score. And 10 men. I thought the goal would have came from Dundee with the advantage of the 11v10. But all credit to Motherwell. They've obviously went for it, because you've reported they've hit the bar. They've looked the better team. And now they've got the reward. Brilliant.
Yeah, so Dominic Thompson's moved over to the right-hand side after the sending off, and Steve Seddon had come on. So sometimes it works, because the left-back operating on the other side cuts onto his left foot, swings it in, and the Dundee defence seem to get caught under the ball, almost as if, I think there is a bit of a wind, and the defence get it all wrong, and Maswanisi nicks in. Really strong header. Trevor Carson can't keep it out, and it's Motherwell who lead at Dens. Dundee 1, Motherwell 2, with a few minutes to go.
And I think this crystallises the situation. Motherwell on 45 points, Hearts on 43, Kilmarnock on 41, and then you go down into the drop zone. It's Dundee on 37 points, Ross County on 35, and bye-bye Saintes on 29 points. Yep. So it's about Ross County and Dundee now.
Yeah, shout out between those two.
Who would you fancy?
Dundee.
Any.
No, I would take Ross County. I think Dundee have got a goal threat in Simon Murray.
You love Simon Murray.
I do.
Love him.
Dundee came very close to an equaliser there from Lyle Cameron, which would have changed things. A right-footed shot, just slid it across, and it was always kind of moving away from Aston Oxborough's post, and by it goes. James Wilson's come on for Alan Forrest for Hearts.
On the basis that Dundee have Simon Murray.
Yeah.
And on the basis that it's now six defeats in a row for Ross County, with three goals scored in 9 hours of football, you've got to think that Simon Murray will keep Dundee in the division and Ross County will be playoff against Partick Thistle.
Do you think there should be a rule that if you've gone the playoffs for a third consecutive season, you don't get the chance to stay up?
Yeah, just really.
If you're Ross County, This would be the third on the bounce, wouldn't it? If they were to land there.
Well, just automatically just on you go.
Three strikes
you're out.
You're gone.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Actually, really disturbing news when we were discussing Roger Hanna. He sent us a picture of him sunbathing on holiday.
I know.
Something you don't associate with Roger Hanna is sunbathing.
You can't see the sun for his belly. Did you notice that before? And he's holding a nice cocktail. What kind of cocktail was that, Mark? You're a
looked
cocktail.
Like an espresso martini he was holding.
Yeah, this time. Oh, I tell you what, they must pay him them big money.
Aye, he's a big hitter though, is he not?
That's Blackpool Beach, isn't
it? He's organised a special lunch on Tuesday, so the Hanna man better be back for that.
Sure he will be. Tony Watt's taken off. Humphrey's going to come on for coming on for Motherwell to try and see this one out. Full time, we've got one already. It's Dingwall, Dave Galloway.
Yeah, full time, Ross County 1, Hearts 3. Hearts began brightly. Spittle whipped in across from left. Grant couldn't connect properly and the ball went wide. Ross County threatened with Harmon's shot in the box, charged down, and Kenna hitting a low drive well wide from around 25 yards. The visitors looking the light clear team though, and Forrest's side footed effort was straight at Amisa, and the same player could only hook over following a long ball upfield. But County went ahead against the run of play in 25 minutes with a great low finish by Hale into the bottom corner after Kenna's run and through ball. The Jam Tarts continued to create and miss chances. Shankland rolled the ball to Forrest, who charged into the box only to send a wayward drive over the bar, but they deservedly equalised after 40 minutes. Beningame set up Shankland, who had a goal, a good first touch, then an excellent finish across Amisa and in at the bottom corner from about 12 yards. White and Wright both had efforts cleared off the line as the Staggies almost regained the lead in a bit of a stramash before half time. And soon after the restart, Gordon made a really good save to keep out Hale's powerful drive from close range. However, it was 2-1 Hearts on 58 minutes. Shankland stretching to convert Forrester's driven cross at the near post. The visitors almost made it 3-1 when Shankland sent Forrest scampering through and his shot was cleared off the line. Then Spittle hit the bar with a long-range curling effort. The Staggies were hanging in there, but Hearts got the third goal. Their dominance deserved on 82 minutes. Shankland with really good play on the left, and he laid the ball on a plate for Forrest, who made no mistake. The home side with a late rally, they had a shot to deep into added time that came crashing back off the crossbar, but to no avail. They couldn't get another goal back, so relegation worries intensify for County, but a vital victory for the Jambos. It's finished here in the Highlands. Ross County 1, Hearts 3.
And it's finished in Perth. Here's David Friel.
Full time gone, St Johnstone 0, Kilmarnock 2. Contrasting moods here. The Kelly players are just down in front of their fans celebrating a first Premiership away win in 6 months, but St Johnstone just misery for them. Place emptied long before they end the edge ever closer to relegation. David Watson's first half striker, Danny Armstrong penalty, gave Derek McInnes' men a rare away win to surely remove any lingering playoff fears. But for Saints, they now face a do or die clash against Ross County next weekend, which could confirm the relegation. The stadium DJ's got a sense of humour. He's playing Living on a Prayer right now, but I don't think they've got a prayer. St Johnstone started well here. It was Kelly who took the lead though in 12 minutes. Bobby Wales, Corey and Dabba combined to find David Watson on the edge of the box. He still had work to do, but curled a superb finish into the bottom corner. St Johnstone came back into the game before half time. Mackenzie Kirk had a chance at Jake Piazza, who had a chance to level, but Kelly made them pay with the second goal in 53 minutes. Referee Ian Snead initially missed Victor Griffith's foul on Rory McKenzie, but VAR Andrew Dallas stepped in to tell him to take a second look. Armstrong, the penalty was given. Armstrong took responsibility and just about managed to squeeze his penalty under Andy Fisher. Saints tried to find a way back into the game. Graham Carey killed a free kick over, but there weren't many chances. Kelly far too streetwise as they saw out the game for a big 3 points on the road. Full time, St Johnstone 0, Kilmarnock 2.
Full time in Paisley. Here's Gabriel.
Full time, and it's a 1-0 win for St Mirren over Aberdeen. Stephen Robinson's European dream is still alive thanks to Mikel Mandron's strike just after the hour mark. The big number nine, who has just extended his contract with the club, took his goal so well. Captain Mark O'Hara stood over a free kick in from the right. He signalled to the Frenchman the ball was going to be floated deep, and that's exactly what happened. The ball found Mandron's chest, who managed to hold off defenders and volleyed the ball home. St Mirren were the more threatening team throughout, even though they didn't have too much of the ball. They had a few decent chances in the first half as Jonah Ayunga shot wide and O'Hara had a good effort saved by Dimitar Mitov. Aberdeen actually started the game initially brighter. They thought they took the lead through Jeppe Okkels in the first 45, but Kevin Nisbet was adjudged to have handballed it in the build-up, which was confirmed by the referee after consulting the monitor. And there was a late rally by the visitors, but they couldn't break open the host defence. Richard Taylor and Alex Gowich in the back line, outstanding throughout. And in the end, St Mirren actually looked more likely to get the game's second goal on the counter. Roland Odoru and James Scott both denied great chances in stoppage time. The result sees Aberdeen drop 3 points behind Hibs in the race for third place, while St Mirren are now just 5 points behind Dundee United with 3 games to go. They face a trip to Tannadice next weekend. It is still all to play for when it comes to Europe, Gordon. Full time in Paisley, St Mirren 1, Aberdeen 0.
Brilliant stuff from St Mirren. It's not done yet at Dens, although Motherwell were through one-on-one with the goalkeeper and missed up the opportunity. There it is, the full-time whistle has gone there, so Motherwell win that one by 2-1. It's finished at Easter Road. Fraser.
It has, in the battle for third place, Hibs taking a huge step to securing that spot. Really enjoyable 90 minutes to watch. It was a Burnley 3, Dundee United 1. There's always something happening here. Hibs deserve the head at the break through Boyle and Kukarevic. They need to come back into the game the second half and push really hard. Trapanowski with the goal that gave them hope, but Dwight Gayle gave Hibs fans comfort near the end of the headed goal. Hibs at the break, 2-2, could have been more. The opener came as early as the third minute. Junior Hoyt, lovely pass. Chris Cadden in behind. First time low cross into 6-yard box. Tried to be cleared by Declan Gallagher, but hit Boyle. And unfortunately for this Hibs striker, trickled into the back of the net off the post. 2-0, 14 minutes. Kukarevic ran onto a ball over the top. He's paced past Gallagher. Didn't really beat him. He just ran into the penalty box. And his low finish across Walton was in off the post and into the back of the net. Walton also made a couple of excellent saves. So the next goal is going to be vital for any couple of half-time subs. Middleton and Trapanowski, an attacking change. And within a couple of minutes, it made a difference, both involved in getting a corner. From the corner, Dalby header, really good save by Jordan Smith. The ball's good for a throw-in. Will Ferry hurled the ball into the box, wasn't cleared. Trapanowski, back post, 6 yards out, fired the ball high into the net. A different United now, pace and tempo about their game. Hibs couldn't get into it. First half fluency had gone. Doherty just wide from 20 yards, had his hands. He knows he should have done better. But slowly, Hibs began to take control of the game. Boyle corner just headed just over by Jack Iyer there. Well, at 81 minutes, the chance for United to get back on level terms was there. Strain with a whipped-in cross into the 6-yard box of Belge. Just with space, poor contact with his head, and the ball went yards wide. He knows he should have scored. And then up to the other end, Josh Campbell set up by Bowie. Shot was going past Walton in the goals, but somehow Strain dived to head the ball off the line. But Hibs sealed the victory, 87 minutes, 2 subs involved. Nicky Cadden on the left, we've seen it so often this season. Lovely cross into the box, 8 yards out. Dwight Gayle, simple header into the back of the net. David Gray got the reaction he wanted after last week's defeat. Almost safe in third place. 6-point cushion between them, United and Aberdeen. You can't see anything other than Hibs finishing up in that spot. Full time at Easter Road, to Burnley 3, Dundee United 1.
Is that third place? It's not done clearly as for the arithmetic, Hugh, but can you see anyone getting the better of Hibs there now?
Well, again, to go back to the word momentum, but, you know, I know they lost last weekend, but it's been a great week for Hibs. David Gray nominated to potentially manager of the year. That's a good sound home performance, good solid result, 3-1 at home. They'll be feeling very good about themselves, but I think they're at Celtic next weekend. That'd be a big test of them, but who knows?
I think it's done and dusted. I think that was a big one this afternoon. He has to get the job done at home, and once again, David Gray has his 15th win of the season, 35 games. That's some return from where they were one stage of the season early on. So fantastic work from Hibs. Still a wee bit of work to be done, but I think they've secured third place with that one.
I agree. They put themselves in a fantastic position. Good result today for them. Aberdeen, not a happy hunting ground, St Mirren. And well done to St Mirren as well. They are a good side, good season, top six. But all the excitement for me is down the bottom of the league. St Johnstone are gone. It's who will get that playoff. And it looks between Dundee and Ross County at this moment in time.
Motherwell are officially safe after that win today. I'll try and give you the full-time picture from Dale very soon, but they now know, Gordon, that's confirmed. Premiership football yet again next season.
Do you know what? Please, everyone, you go down to... You're lost the first goal. You're away from home. You need that sort of a point. We were touching on it. I always thought they were going to be safe. They get down to 10 men. They're 1-1. And they're brave enough to go and win the game. A fantastic result, a great performance from the 10 men. And you're right, Gordon, that same. They can now start planning for next season and look forward to another year in the Premier League.
In its own way, a special achievement for Michael Vimmer. He has to come to a new country. Yes, he can speak the language, which is always a big help, but he's in a brand new environment. And he has done the job for Motherwell. I always remember when Alan Burrows was Motherwell's chief executive, and he stood in this studio with you and I, Gordon, and he said, first target every year, to stay in the division. Well, Michael Vimmer, new environment, new league, he's done it for Motherwell.
Incredible from St Mirren, Mark, because I've probably said it on the show, and it wasn't meant to be disrespectful, because I feel like Stephen Robinson and others had probably said it as well. It looked like they were just happy with top six and, you know, were able to finish the season on a relative high, but they could very well end up in Europe.
Certainly can, and you know what? You wouldn't begrudge them it, because of their home form alone this season has been quite exceptional. And, you know, the highs that get into the top six, the celebrations you see in Spartak, you'd forgive them for taking their foot off the gas and playing pretty relaxed. But against Rangers last week, they were right at it. Then they have to host Aberdeen, who are going for that third spot, and to get the job done 1-0 again. Terrifically organised team, got players playing for them, but I just wonder how much longer Stephen Robinson will be at St Mirren.
They've certainly got the beating of Aberdeen. I think when they went to Pittodrie, I think they were comfortable against them. When they 3-0, I think they've already beat them in their home patch. I think it was 2-1. I think Neil Warnock at that time was a manager. And now, today, another victory, another 3 points. So it's not a team Aberdeen like to play against. And well done to Stephen Robinson and everyone concerned there in Paisley.
OK, over to you then, 01419511025. What are you thinking today on that subject, St Mirren fans? How good does this all feel? Can you see this late run coming towards a European place? How did you view that game today? You'll be back in the car by now. Motherwell fans, you are officially safe. You're one of the teams that officially achieved something today. How does that feel? Hibs fans up in third. Lots going on today. And what about tomorrow? Rangers against Celtic. It always means something. But what does it mean? What does this one mean to you both? How does it look from a Celtic perspective, a Rangers perspective? It's your last chance to pick or predict your team lineups. It's the Player of the Year Awards tomorrow as well, so there's a lot to get through. Give us a call right now, please, and we'll try and get you on next.
It's Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line, 0141 951 1025.
Yes, it's time for you to have your say on today's football, or tomorrow's, of course. Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL waiting on you. So give us a call, please. 0141 951 1025. If you're coming out of a game today, we'd love to hear all about it, what it was like. St Mirren fans, this late push for Europe could well be on. How good was that win against Aberdeen today? Can you do it? Can you pull off what would have seemed unlikely a couple of weeks ago? Motherwell fans, you're the only team that's officially achieved something today, and that is safety. You cannot go down, and it's another season in the top flight. So what did you make of the win against Dundee, particularly down to 10 men late on? 0141 951 1025. Any Falkirk fans out there, we'd like to bask in your glory of a championship win and promotion to the Premiership from last night. So again, give us a call. Partick Thistle fans, if you've got any secrets you want to try and get out of Mark Wilson ahead of the playoffs, you are more than welcome. The weekend, of course, is not done yet. Tomorrow, high noon, Ibrox Rangers against Celtic for the final time this season. It won't change the destination of the title, it won't change much, but there's still always a lot going on. So give us all your thoughts from both camps ahead of the meeting at Ibrox right now. 01419511025. Whilst you get the calls in, here is the last remaining stop off. We've not heard from Dale Eaton yet, who watched Dundee against Motherwell.
Gordon. It's full time here at Dens Park, and after some late drama, it finishes Dundee 1, Motherwell 2. Trevor Carson was the first goalkeeper called into action on the day after a nice play between Sparrow and Slattery down the right hand side, with Slattery firing in a low shot saved by the keeper. On his first start since January following an injury layoff, Oxborough was called into action and made a great double save on 12 minutes. First from Adewumi, then from left back Larkesh. He was eventually beaten at the half hour mark after a wonderful strike from Antonio Bartales, which sailed into the top left corner. The ball broke to the Mexican defender playing in midfield for the second game in a row as he fired it home from the edge of the box. He did have the ball in the back of the net again just before half time, but VAR stepped in to rule that out. After the break, it was Motherwell who started the brighter side, putting the home side under pressure. A Lennon Miller free kick from the right hand side was punched away by Carson on 50 minutes. The Motherwell equaliser came shortly after on the 60 minute mark when Tom Sparrow tucked away his sixth of the season. Slattery played a lofted ball into the Dundee box. Miller tried to control it. It bounced between him and a defender and broke into the path of Sparrow, who tapped it home from close range. Dundee tried to hit back after a nice move between Larkesh and Adewumi down the left, who put it into the path of Josh Mulligan, whose shot sailed over the bar. A number of back and forth chances followed between the teams until Ziad Larkesh went down from the challenge of Katrumbis. Kevin Clancy was called to the screen by VAR and sent the defender off for serious foul play, reducing the away side to 10 men in the 80th minute. Just 5 minutes later, though, the Steelmen almost took the lead from a corner after it broke to Dan Casey, whose header came off the crossbar, agonisingly close to that second ball. Dundee tried to use the man advantage in their favour, throwing men forward, but then, in added time, Motherwell broke forward. Dom Thompson, with acres of space to run into, fired a ball to the back post, where half-time substitute Maswanisi snuck in a header to put the Steel men ahead. A late Dundee corner saw goalkeeper Trevor Carson sent up to try and rescue a point, but the Dark Blues couldn't convert. Motherwell almost added a third moments before full time. Carson saved again from Maswanisi with a rebound sent wide, but assistant flagged for offside. Full time at Dens Park, it's the away fans who leave happy. It finishes Dundee 1, Motherwell 2.
How big an achievement is that, Gordon? I know it's not like you don't set out at the start of the season as a fan and really plan on celebrating staying up, but Motherwell have done it with a bit of comfort, you know, with the budget and so on. It still becomes the first priority in every season. You look around, they're still really the only team of that size that's not been out the top flight in decades. So, you know, that there's a level of consistency there that is to be admired, even if some people would obviously want to aim higher.
It's a terrific result this afternoon, especially getting down to 10 men. Shows a lot of character. It gives the new manager an opportunity now to try one or two things before the end of the season. Have a look at one or two players. He's got a big squad, a lot of work to be done in the summer, but he now can start planning. That's the most important thing. See, for teams like Motherwell, when they start off the beginning of the season, stay in the league. Stay in the league. That's all you have to do. Anything top six is a brilliant bonus for them. Didn't happen this season. They were under a little bit of pressure, but they've eventually got 6 points out of the last two games, puts them over a line. And as I said there, the new manager can start planning for next year.
Michael Vimmer inherited chaos at Motherwell because Stuart Kettlewell had been removed, or had voluntarily gone, I should say. And there was a fair bit of hostility in the air. But Michael Vimmer came in from another country and he has done the job, and for that he deserves maximum credit.
It's for 40 years, Hugh, that Motherwell have been in the top flight, and in that time, every single other club, apart from Celtic and Aberdeen, have been out. All of our big city clubs, city clubs not far from here for reasons that were well publicised, Hearts and Hibs on a couple of occasions, the Dundee clubs. Like I said, I know it's not the fans' idea of celebration, you know, is staying in, but I think for to do that over 40 years is quite something.
Yeah, I think
when everyone around you can't manage it,
I think that is the cause for celebration.
But you know what I mean? It's not giving you that, you're not partying at that, but it's just something that probably shouldn't be forgotten.
You are punching above your weight on a decade by decade basis, not year by year, decade by decade. That's an achievement.
Yeah, I have to agree. And you know what makes it more impressive is the change of manager. Hugh's spot on to say that Michael Vimmer came in at a difficult time, and it could have went one or two ways, but he brought in new methods as well, which is never easy for a group of players to buy into. He's done the job. He's kept him in the league. I think a pre-season is going to be crucial. I think the players will have more time to buy into his ideas, and then the transfer window, whatever that brings. But you're right in mentioning Motherwell, a club who are just a stable unit within our Premiership, and another year there. So congratulations to them. They can get the feet up for the next couple of weeks and just enjoy the football, pressure off.
Yeah, I said it earlier, Gordon, the most important thing is staying in the league. They've achieved that, and they'll be planning for next season. And they can sit there and try one or two things now to the end of the season, give one or two players an opportunity, because he'll need to trim the squad. It's well known Motherwell have got a massive squad. I think they've got over 30 odd players, so it was important they kept their Premier League status. They've achieved that, and now they can sit back and relax, and put pressure on the other ones, Ross County and Dundee. Let's see who's in that playoff come the end of the season.
Stevie's on the line first. How are you, Stevie? How's it going, Stevie? Alright, can you hear us? Oh no, we'll need to give Stevie's line a different try. That sounded ropey. But don't forget, you've got various options. I'd love to hear from you Falkirk fans on last night, if you've sobered up, that is. Give us a call, let us know how it was and how it feels to be back in the top flight. Looking at today's football, we mentioned Motherwell there. Any Motherwell fans want to pay tribute to another season in the top flight? I'm also looking at you St Mirren fans. It looked like you would just be able to relax into the post-split fixtures a bit, and whatever happened happened. But two good results in a row, and all of a sudden looking up the way. So give us all your thoughts, please. 01419511025. And what about tomorrow then? What does it mean? What does it mean to Celtic? What does it mean to Rangers? Barry Ferguson, Brendan Rodgers, which team would you pick? There'll obviously be no Jota, no Alistair Johnson. Anything else to consider in terms of the team lines? And I suppose your last shout as well for any player or manager of the year debates, because that'll all be settled tomorrow, Hugh.
Yeah. John McGlynn, back-to-back promotion, you cannot underestimate the value of that achievement. Brendan Rodgers, another title win, the one that equals Rangers' record of 55 titles, very important to the Celtic fans. I think the manager of the year has to come from one of those two, with the greatest respect to David Gray. David Gray's story is one of transformation from bad to better. But I don't think that entitles him to the Manager of the Year award. For me, it's between Brendan Rodgers and John McGlynn.
I'd have to agree with it. I think David Gray's award is purely been in amongst those two, and I mean that with the greatest respect, because of where the season started, and it did not look good for him at one stage. To turn that round, it's been a remarkable run, and the mental strength that's had to go into that from himself, and the delivery from his staff round about, and that leadership qualities, he deserves to be in the mix. But I think you need, for me, you certainly need silverware, and you need to compare to the two either side of you. Two remarkable achievements. Brendan Rodgers, people would argue, is slightly easier because the bigger budget and so on and so forth, everything that comes with Celtic. But you still need to manage a huge football club and huge personalities and get the big games right more often than not he has. But for McGlynn, just sensational to do back to back, and the way he's done it, tremendous achievement.
Stevie's here on the phone. Stevie, what are you thinking about tomorrow then?
Well, as I said, I was going to talk about the three games I've watched today. Falkirk last night was brilliant. Great game. Went to the wire. I watched Coventry and Middlesbrough this morning, went to the wire. And then I've just watched St Mirren and Aberdeen, went to the wire. But, well, tomorrow I think it'll be a draw. I think the two teams will settle for a draw, you know.
It's a bit boring, isn't it, though, Stevie? You think it just suits them both?
Well, as I said, I'm not saying it suits them both. I think Rangers want to win it, but Celtic supporters, as I say, that's all saying to your producer there. I think it's a disgrace now that both sets of fans are stuck in a wee corner at each ground, you know. I've went to all Firm games in the past, and they've been brilliant atmospheres. I mean, there was a programme on STV years ago, Into the Fire. It ended up with Sunnis coming to Ibrox, you know. But, I mean, they interviewed both sets of supporters before each game. I don't know if you remember it, if you're too young to remember it. But it was a classic. It was a classic.
Oh, you'll remember it, don't you? Yeah, worry. I suppose you to be... I get this is where the generational thing kicks in, because Stevie likes kind of older bigger allocations, which is fine. Yeah. I suppose tomorrow, though, where we've been, this is a small victory. It's a step back in the right direction.
Exactly. And small steps are necessary before you can make a giant leap. I do remember the 4-4 game because my pal Mudda McLeod scored the fourth goal to make it 4-4 for Celtic. It was classic. Tomorrow, will, you know, Stevie used the word settle for, or two words, settle for. No. In the history of the Old Firm fixture, no one settles for anything. This game tomorrow, regardless of whether Celtic have won the title or not, regardless of whether Rangers have won the last two games against Celtic or not, this game will have the same importance for both managers, both sets of players, and both sets of fans. And I repeat, if Rangers were to win and come away from Ibrox still 14 points behind Celtic, it reflects very poorly on the players who have let down two managers, one a permanent one, one an interim manager, this season, because that is ludicrous. To have beaten Celtic three times, if that is what happens, and still be 14 points behind Celtic, is a ludicrous state of affairs.
I can't buy into any supporter talking about, well, it doesn't really mean a lot tomorrow. Mark will tell you, the minute you walk out that tunnel and you're representing one of those clubs, it means everything to you. And it will tomorrow to all those players. And Hughes said that as well. And especially when you look over at the dugout, you've got two managers there, Barry Ferguson, that have said it from day one. He kept the Rangers together with the supporters and everything. It's not worked out for him. He won't get the job permanently. I think Barry knows that. But he wants to finish in the high. He wants to. He's a Rangers man. He wants to beat Celtic at Ibrox. Of course he does. And get a double over in Brendan Rodgers. And then you look over the other side, Brendan Rodgers, with the pride, the manager he is, winning the championship, going for a treble. He will not want to walk out of Ibrox tomorrow with our defeat. I think we are in for a cracking game of football. Yeah. I really do.
We will be. And when we switch on and everybody else switches on, or those that are going to the stadium, as soon as they step in the stadium, they see the atmosphere, the colour, you quite quickly get to grips with, this isn't just a meaningless fixture, because it means so much to both sets of supporters. And I think it means so much to both managers in the dugout because of Brendan Rodgers' personality. He's dominated up here. He's dominated Rangers for long spells. He certainly doesn't want to lose another one. And for Barry Ferguson, he has got that burning desire for, he says, his club to get on level terms with Celtic and catch up with him. And of course, he wants to beat them at Ibrox. He's done it once at Celtic Park. He wants to do it at Ibrox, and his results have been poor at Ibrox. So it's coming to the end of the season. It doesn't look like he's going to get the job, but what a way to bow out, to go out saying that you beat Celtic twice and the last one at Ibrox. That would be a good ending for him.
What do you think tomorrow, Rangers fans? Do you think you'll make it three in a row, Celtic fans? How much does it matter to you to end that run? You're obviously, as everyone knows, champions, title winners, potential treble winners. What does tomorrow mean, though? Give us a call right now. Look back on today's action, last night's action, Falkirk fans. It's up to you. Give us a shout and we'll speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Hugh Evans, Mark Wilson, Gordon Dieler here. Keep the calls coming on today's action, last night's action, tomorrow's game at Ibrox. Let's hear from Liam Fox. What a week it's been for Hearts. Sacked, Neil Critchley had the embarrassment of interviews that were tried to, that were attempted to be conducted outside the Player of the Year awards, but they've won today in Dingwall, pretty much safe. Here's Liam Fox, who's an interim charge.
Disappointed with how the season's panned out. There's no getting away from that. We're happy with the 3 points. We're not going away celebrating and jumping about. We've still got work to do. Hopefully that's a wee step in the right direction, and just let everybody breathe a wee bit. And the players deserve huge credit for that. And again, that's probably where I can give them the most amount of credit, because they, you could feel the wee bit of tension and a wee bit of nerves, but they stuck to what we were asking them to do. They kept passing the ball, they kept being brave, they kept putting themselves in pressure situations. So they deserve massive credit for that. And getting the goal back before half-time just gives them a wee shot in the arm. And I thought there was moments of really good stuff in the second half. So again, we're really, really pleased, we're happy. But we know that there's still work to do, and we've still got to get back to work on Monday and look forward to Motherwell. A bit of relief from the full week. It's been a difficult week. it's always difficult when people you work with lose their jobs. And I knew how important the game was today off the back of that, and off the I know what the supporters expect and what they demand from the football club. So that was that was probably a wee bit moment of relief. But I've been trying to enjoy this week as well, because it's a privilege to manage a football club, even on an interim basis.
Yeah, he's done well, Liam Fox. I think this is the pivotal day for Hearts. You know, they're 6 points away from Dundee. Dundee are in it now with Ross County. St Johnstone are gone. So there's no worry, I don't think, anymore about Hearts and relegation playoffs and what have you. And that's to Liam Fox's credit, because difficult week in which to come in, and a place that was once difficult to go to, but not anymore, I don't think.
Well, let's bring in Jeff on the line. Jeff, what are your thoughts ahead of tomorrow?
I've got a number of points, but we'll start with the Old Firm game. I think Rangers could probably do it tomorrow. As some Celtic players are out, either injured or being rested for the cup final. I'm going to do a prediction, right? I'm going to say 3-1 to Rangers for tomorrow, just because the way we played at Parkhead, that's my first point.
Let's take a look at that then, because Gordon, obviously I understand, we would all understand where Jeff comes from earlier on in the season. Rangers drew, in fact they lost against St Mirren, then they drew with Motherwell, and in the next game they beat Celtic 3-0. The last time there was an Old Firm game, they lost against Motherwell, they had a Fenerbahce doubleheader, and then they go and beat Celtic 3-2 at Celtic Park. So perfectly capable of doing that. Having said all of that, they are also now 5 games without a win. Appreciate that takes in the Athletic Bilbao games, but they're 5 games without a win, which is quite a run.
That's what frustrates the Rangers fans so much. You talk about results there, results that they should be picking up, teams that they should be beating, and then they turn up when the big games, and they seem to find a new lease of life for some reason. You've seen them, they're great. They were good at Celtic Park, especially early on. And it was a game that was finally in the balance, and all of a sudden, Iggeman comes up with a brilliant goal to go and win it for them. Look, they could turn up tomorrow. You could write them off right now, because Celtic are far the better team. But you never know what Rangers have got to produce. And I think that... obviously, looking at the setup tomorrow, I know that Celtic have got one or two key players missing, i.e. Jota, Alistair Johnston at right back. But to be fair, Alistair Johnston had his worst game at Celtic Park against Rangers. He was absolutely awful. Gives Ralston a chance to come in there as well. He's played a lot of games, played in these games. Look, I just think it'll be two teams that'll go right on the front foot, and I think it'll be a cracking game of football. I think we'll get goals, because the one thing Rangers will do is they'll give you goals. It's if Celtic can keep it out at the other end. I just don't know. It's hard to call. I'm going to sit in the fence with this one tomorrow.
Jeff's hoping that Celtic have one eye on the final mark, and it's easy to say that they won't. As an example, Alistair Johnson is being treated with a view to making that cup final. Look, it's just one player, but you take the point.
Yeah, that one's an exception. But the players that are fit and able to play, I mean, there'll be no consideration of the final when they step off the bus, when they're getting prepared for the game, when they're in the warm-up, or when they go, when the first whistle goes. So all focus will be on Rangers. I think the interesting thing tomorrow for me is I think the way the game pans out will be similar to what we've seen at Ibrox. At the turn of the year, it'll be similar to what we've seen in the cup final and similar to what we've seen at Celtic Park. Celtic won't change their style, I'm pretty certain of that. But I wonder how Rangers shape up, because they've had success. You know, the personnel that they pick will be interesting, of course, but the shape that Barry Ferguson adopts will be the interesting thing. How they stop Celtic playing, because that's where they got a lot of their good stuff from. You know, picking the right times to press, almost allowing Celtic to play into certain areas and then pouncing and getting bodies forward. So that'll
be... Formation will be key as well, Mark. Do you think that Rangers will go with the three or the four? I know they've got a few injuries at the back, am I correct in saying that? You just wonder how Barry will look at this tomorrow against this Celtic team, because Adam Ida will probably start through the middle. You know what I mean? You'll have Kunin Maeda on the flanks.
You've also got... goalkeeper Sinna Salah, who's never played in an Old Firm game, and you wonder how he reacts to the occasion. 50,000 inside Ibrox for some reason, and it is inexplicable, but for some reason Rangers spook Celtic. The game at Celtic Park was proof of that. The one before was also proof of that. And you read out the sequence of results, Gordon, that have come before those two defeats of Celtic. Inexplicable that they come out of bad results and beat Celtic and score three goals each time. Rangers spook Celtic.
Having said that, this isn't an up and down spell, is it? That's five. You know, five without a win is not great.
No, but I go back to it. Goalkeeper who's never played an Old Firm game before.
Liam Kelly came and played in the 3-0, didn't he, for Rangers earlier this season.
But therefore we have something to go on with Liam Kelly, past experience. Sinna Salah has never played an Old Firm game before.
But that day we didn't have anything to go on.
Yeah, but we now know. So the loss of Johnson, I do understand what Gordon Dale said. He had a very, very poor game last time out, but he's a class act, Alistair Johnson. And Maeda will have to go wide to accommodate the Jota injury, and for me he loses some of his effectiveness, and Ida is nowhere near a replacement for Maeda.
Well, you look at our Celtic teams coming to Ibrox and banging for them, they've scored 15 goals in three games here. Adam Ida comes off the bench against Dundee United and scores two, so he's capable. There's no doubt that he's capable. I think it's a Celtic team that's really in the front foot, but you never know what Rangers are going to produce.
What else are you thinking, Jeff?
Right, this is probably directed at Mark. I watched the Falkirk game last night, and I was listening, I was on my phone looking at the results last night. I thought Falkirk nearly threw it away, but your team did Falkirk a favour. Do you think, come Tuesday night against A United, that you can beat them in both legs?
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, I'm not going to say no. I think if you look at the games, Jeff, that Partick and Ayer have faced off against each other this season, it's pretty even. Terms of the results at Firhill and obviously at Somerset. So one thing's for sure, it's going to be closely contested, I'm pretty sure of that, over the two legs, and we hope so. The challenging thing, I think, for finishing fourth in the playoffs, and same for Ayr to a certain extent, is such a quick turnaround that getting players back to their peak for these two games is a big ask at this time of the season. So it's going to be a difficult run for whoever goes all the way.
And that's obviously for the first game.
That's for the first
game.
Then
you need to play twice. You need to play twice, and then the Premiership team twice.
So it's a big ask, and you're asking players when other players are away on their holidays, and Falkirk are sitting in Ibiza. Like some of the players said, these players who have had a long, hard season have to recover and go at it again. So it's a brutal time for them. But I know where I'd rather be sitting. Much rather be sitting in the playoffs, close to a full house at Firhill in Somerset, than sitting in the house with my feet up.
Training tomorrow morning now.
Tomorrow morning, early doors at Firhill.
Life's changed for this guy.
It is, and he's and all credit to him. I'm delighted for him. It is a big ask because there's a lot of games to be played, but the man keep turning out the results, him and Big Brian, so don't write them off yet.
Jeff, how much do you care about tomorrow versus you sort of want all this season done and dusted and 49ers Enterprises to come and change things?
Question I want to ask. It's one of these games. All right, it's a meaningless game, but at the end of the day, it's bragging rights. It's bragging rights. Now, with the 49ers, I hope and pray that they come out and tell us what they're going to be doing. The manager will take care of itself, but it needs to be done sooner rather than later because of the close season is so short, with the start of the season starting early because of the European Cup, the qualifiers.
It's a good point Jeff makes. You had more of a curiosity to me. I know why the Rangers fans want it. I just wonder if you get any sort of further official communication before the end of the season.
When I watched Andrew Kavanagh get shown around Ibrox along with the other members of the 49ers Enterprises, and he absolutely refused to answer any question, and I thought to myself, this is typical Americanism. He doesn't want to say anything. The Fifth Amendment of the American Constitution, you have the right to refuse to answer a question if you feel your answer may incriminate you.
There's a reference I didn't expect today.
There you are. So for me, the legals have to be got out of the way first of all, and Andrew Kavanagh is not going to say anything that can be used against him. So that side of it has to be taken care of, because there's an awful lot of legal paperwork to be gone through. So Jeff may hope and pray, as he says, and he's joined by tens of thousands of Rangers supporters, but they will have to, whether they are frustrated by it or not, adhere to the legal ins and outs of this situation. And then, and only then, will Andrew Kavanagh open his mouth and tell you what is happening.
Looking ahead to tomorrow, looking even further into the future there with Jeff, let's look back on today. Michael Vimmer has been speaking, a 2-1 win for Motherwell at Dundee. They were down to 10 men, and it all means they will play Premiership football guaranteed again next season.
I'm really happy. I'm really, that we are safe. I know everybody said our 7 points in front before our game is no problem. We stay in the league, but it's always better that it is mathematically safe. I was sure that we win the game because I had this feeling. I felt this energy on the bench, on the pitch, on the from the spectators, from our fans. So I was not scared. So I was, I had the feeling we can win. For me, it was a wrong decision. After I saw the clips, I say you can give the red card and it's okay. It's okay decision. No. I didn't expect that it was offside. I was annoyed. I was angry because it was the same goal like the first goal, and it could not be that we are not more pushing and defending and more aggressively in defending, and so I was I don't expect it. I didn't expect that it was offside, but perfect that it was offside.
What have you got for us then? You want to reflect on some of today's results or last night, Falkirk fans? How was the party? How do you feel about being back in the top flight? And what about tomorrow? Give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
The games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
We're into the final part of today's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans still here. We're back tomorrow as well, as if this is not enough for you. Let's hear from the managers ahead of tomorrow then, shall we? Barry Ferguson and then Brendan Rodgers.
I'm expecting a big performance from us, because we know they're coming here. They'll not be happy about what happened in the last two games. So we need to be ready. It means a lot to me. And I've said that it needs to mean a lot to everybody inside the building. It's been a really disappointing season, but it's not a dead rubber. You're coming up against your fiercest rivals who, again, have dominated this season. That hurts. So we need to go up against them and just let them, or give them a reminder that, listen, we're going to be here next season. We need to challenge, certainly in a better manner than which we have done this season.
I said before that was you would look at it over a period of time, and you know, you would say that it's probably pretty much the same. So, you know, some really good European performances, a wee bit up and down in the league, but I think the difference being that at least the Rangers supporters, they can connect with Barry, and that's where they're at. I think we've seen they've played well in games, and then, like I say, other games that they'll have wanted to have done better in. But for us, really, we have to go and perform in this game.
Stephen's on from Irvine. How's it going, Stephen?
Hi, how are you doing? All right?
Good. What's your point tonight?
It was just a wee quick point to Hugh. I mean, it does my nut on every single time. See if he can find doom and gloom about Celtic. Hugh'll find it. He's going on there, or Sinisal, first Glasgow, first, you want to call it. He's coming in the morning, and then you make the point about Liam Kelly. And if he doesn't want to listen to that, it's a, I mean, we've been to Ibrox umpteen times with debutants getting into it who've never played before. Scott Bain, the game Edward when the allocation gets shut down. I mean, Scott Bain came in that day, done pretty well. What's not to say since Al, it's Hugh just finds any negative and anything about Celtic. We could quite easily go to Ibrox tomorrow and get beat. I'm not saying we're going to go and tank them or anything like that. We could go to Ibrox tomorrow and get beat, but Hugh just finds the negative in everything when it comes to Celtic playing Rangers, or anything at all. Hugh, any negative, Hugh'll find it.
No, you on the other hand, would choose to ignore any positive that I put forward. You've come on and seized upon one point, which I stand by. It's a goalkeeper who has no experience of this fixture. It's at Ibrox, 50,000. If you'd allow me to answer your question, you've come on and said I'd do your head in. You're doing mine in now by refusing to shut up.
Okay.
So, the goalkeeper... for me is a matter for conversation until the game is over, and if Sinisalo has an outstanding game, I will be the first to say it. I'm merely looking into the fixture and saying that on the evidence of the last few, and I include the Premier Sports Cup final in that, because that game to a very large extent hinged on a penalty kick that should have been given to Rangers but was not, and the decision was later apologised for by Willie Collum. So in recent games, Rangers have spooked Celtic. Celtic's performance at Celtic Park in the last one was, and you'd agree yourself, Stephen, totally out of character and totally underwhelming. And
I know what you say. It's spooked Celtic. I wouldn't say it's spooked. I mean, we're constantly saying that these games are a different entity or whatever you want to call it. But so can that not happen? Can, see, when two rivals are playing each other, can they not beat each other? I mean, can they not have Celtic? I don't think they had a poor start at Celtic Park, but then when Celtic got it back to 2-2, I mean, you've said it constantly on this show. When Celtic got it back to 2-2 on at 1-1, fine, fair enough. They got the park and score for a mistake. I think it's for Alistair Jones, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But there's a slip now out of the park. I mean, that can happen in these games. So all this spooked talk, I mean, it happens. Celtic's went up to... We've done a whitewash one season. Rangers couldn't beat us. Rangers have beat us.
Yeah, but I'm giving you the evidence of this season so far. You're going back... You want to refer to previous seasons.
The last game could have gone either way, to be fair, couldn't it? Like, Ibrox is a good example. That was an absolute doing. There's no doubt about it. Yep. You know, but I think I do recognise what Stephen says just about the last one. We all said... Because we can't rewrite it. We're all in here saying... Well, Celtic will go on and win this now. So it wasn't a performance that was, you know, so dreadful. I think Stephen's talking about the fine margins in that regard.
Well, at Celtic Park, when it got to 2-2, you really are expecting more.
That's what I'm saying. We, you know, so that's why that was different. I don't think you can package that one and the Ibrox one as if they were the same type of performance from Celtic.
But at the same time, tomorrow, and Stephen can self-immolate if he likes, but tomorrow... I think Celtic are the team under greater pressure because Brendan Rodgers doesn't want to lose three league games in succession to Rangers.
You also don't want to go 20 points behind in a season that you've not won a thing, though, do you?
Absolutely. That's the fascination of the fixture. No one knows who will win the fixture. But, and I've said that if Rangers lose, or rather, I beg your pardon, if Rangers win and are 14 points behind Celtic, having won three Old Firm games in a row, I have said it is a ludicrous state of affairs. I have said it is Rangers players cheating the manager, the fans and everyone associated with the club. So that's the fascination of the fixture. Separate life form is the expression that Stephen's looking for, which I always attach to this particular game. It's a separate life form. Either could win tomorrow.
How do you think it will go, Stephen? I'm pushed for time. I'd love to let you two Barney all night, but let's just round it off in a friendly manner. How do you think it will go?
I'm hoping Celtic will win. I think, honestly, because of the points gap and everything, and all the points, it could go either way tomorrow, but I'll say 2-1 Celtic.
Don't mind it. Don't mind it. He's balanced up. He's given us the prediction. It's going to be interesting, Gordon, because Brendan Rodgers' professional pride, I'm sure, will be in there as well. And you know, Hugh puts it in terms that maybe people think are over the top, but he's obviously right in the sense that Brendan Rodgers won't want it. He won't want a third defeat. 100%.
And then you've got Barry Ferguson desperate to put one over on him. Because he's a Rangers man. It's Brendan Rodgers. You're quite right in saying what you're saying about professional pride. He doesn't want to lose to Rangers three times. He doesn't want to lose to Barry Ferguson, interim manager, twice. So I think the dugouts will be very, very interesting indeed. I just think that, you know, if you're a Celtic fan, you're full of confidence. They've scored 15 goals in the last three games. If you're a Rangers fan, you're looking and thinking, well, we turn up when we're the underdogs and it's the big games. We went to Celtic Park, we've beat them before. So I just think we're in for a really interesting afternoon of football and a cracking game of football.
Thank you, Stephen. He annoys me as well sometimes, Stephen. Don't you worry, Stephen and Irvine on 01419511025. Let's hear from an angry Tony Docherty. His side were 1-1, remember, against Motherwell. They thought they'd scored a second, it got ruled out. Motherwell went down to 10 men and then they went on and won it.
My huge frustration in this, the game today, and I have to say before I make the comment, I'm not abdicating responsibility as Dundee manager for losing the game. It's a game we should never lose. But the decision to disallow the second goal, in my opinion, is we're in a situation now where we've got officials that are finding a way to disallow goals. And it changes the absolute dynamic of the game. You know, we go in at 2-0. You know, you've got to then explain to players, you know, it's an injustice, but come on, we'll do something about it. But there's no doubt the opposition gets a lift from that decision. You know, we should be going in at 2-0. Antonio Portales scores a fantastic goal with his right foot in the top corner, and an even better one with his left foot. And the officials contrive to find a way to disallow that goal. So I'm hugely frustrated with that. And do you know what? If we just brush it under the carpet again, then this game for spectators is all about entertainment. And the entertainment comes from them watching their team scoring goals. And you've seen the reaction of the fans when Antonio scores his second goal there. And I just think it's a disgrace to have made that decision, which affects the dynamic of the game. And again, I will stress the point, I do not abdicate responsibility. Our second half performance, they came out in the front foot, they had a lift from that decision. We went deep and we allowed them back into the game, but not matching a runner. And then at one each, when they get a player sent off, we go for it. You know, we take off a defender, we put on an attacker, we go 4-4-2, and we shouldn't lose that. You know, it's a ridiculous goal to lose the match on, and what could have been an important point the way results went today.
It'll be interesting to see how this, you know, once everyone sees it and so on here. I mean, like, someone sent me a clip of it, and I think, see the wider point, I get why football fans, players are frustrated because they think VAR's too pernickety and whatever, right? But yeah, see, whilst it is what it is, I showed it to you two there, whilst it is what it is, the throw comes into the box, it hits a Dundee player, at which point Clark Robertson's in an offside position. Mm-hmm. He then comes back and challenges Dominic Thompson, who can't clear the ball. It falls to Portales as he puts it in the top corner. Annoying, yes. Frustrating, yes. Pernickety, yes. Ruining football, maybe. But to go as far as saying it's a disgrace, I think if you're the officials, you need to cancel that goal.
If I'm not sure, Hugh, if I'm looking at that, I would be calling for offside as well.
Because he's impacted the
defender. Yeah, he's impacted the defender clearing the ball. So he's had an outcome on that clearance that, of course, doesn't get clear and it lands to Portales, who puts it in the top corner. Brilliant goal, but he is interfering. The play coming from an offside position.
Tony is treading dangerous ground there by using the expression officials are trying to find a way to disallow goals. That was the equivalent of Neil Critchley, who just before he got the sack said that the referee couldn't wait to get his red card out and send off Devlin in the cup semi-final match. You have to be careful with the terminology that you use, because desperate to find a way, explain that one. I know that Kevin Clancy was the referee and he is drawn to controversy like a magnet.
He's not going to have known that. You know, that's VAR looks at that back and says, well, do you know what? Clark Robertson is in an offside position.
It's the right decision.
And he then comes back and challenges for the ball.
It's the right decision. Simple and straightforward as that.
Don't use expressions like finding a way, trying to find a way. It has other connotations you should stay well clear of.
Anyway, we'll leave it there for today because we're back tomorrow bright and early. It's going to be a good morning and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard, because 11:45, just in time to get the show on the road from Ibrox at midday. We'll go through it all and then plenty of time for you to have your say afterwards. Rest up well. We'll see you here in the morning and enjoy the GBX.